Jesus is giving some teaching about the right posture of the heart, because there were others that did things for the sake of saying that they were doing them. There are others who sought to be righteous for the sake of impressing other people. But Jesus offers a specific teaching here that I think is profound for us, not only tonight, but as we begin this season of Lent. Matthew chapter 6, 1-6 and 16-21. Hear these words. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they might be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your alms might be done in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners so that they might be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret and sees in secret will reward you." And then skipping to verse 16. "And whenever you fast, don't look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." A living word of God, written for a living people of God, and we say, thanks be to God. May God bless the reading and receiving of this word. The story is told about a group of businessmen who were at a conference in Chicago, and they learned that the conference was going to end prematurely. And they were very excited because they'd been on the road for some time. They'd been away from their families. And in their excitement and enthusiasm, they made an arrangement really quickly with the airport to see if they could catch an early flight home from Chicago. A lot of them called, and some flights were open, and they were able to book early the trip home. But they had to hurry from where they were in Chicago to the airport to make their flight to get to their gate in time. And so this group of businessmen, the story goes, was in a rush. They were in a hurry. They had paid for their tickets. They didn't want to miss their flight. They were tired. They wanted to get home to their families. And so they were rushing through the terminal, this group of businessmen were. And in their rush, there was some kiosks in the middle of the airport. As you know, you've seen them before. But at this particular airport and this particular kiosk, there was a girl who was selling apples in the middle of the airport. And one of the businessmen, in his haste to collect his belongings and run down to the gate, inadvertently hit the corner of the apple cart, and it tipped all of her apples over, and apples went everywhere. And the businessmen kept running, and although they saw what had happened and they had turned their backs to see all of the commotion, they were in their haste wanting to get to their flight because they didn't want to miss it. They wanted to get home, and they kept on going, all but one. All but one businessman who turned and looked at this girl as she was bending down, groping at her apples, trying to collect them in the midst of the commotion, the people all who were watching at this mess, at this circus that had now transpired in the middle of the airport. And this businessman, with his compassion, he went back and he started collecting these apples, some of which had been bruised and broken because of the fall. And as he was collecting them, he was sorting through them, and he was keeping the bruised ones and the broken ones to himself, and he put them in a brown bag that had fallen with the apples. And as he was picking those up, this girl, he noticed she was crying, and tears were streaming down her face, and she was obviously upset. And the way she was groping at her apples, trying to get them collected, cued him in on something. He noticed that she, as he got closer to her, that she was blind. She could not see. And so after this acknowledgement, he, with even more compassion, started picking up the apples. They got them all collected and back into the stand. And he said, "I'm sorry that my colleagues did what they did. See, we're in a rush and we were trying to get home. But I noticed that in the fall, some of your apples got bruised and broken, and I've collected some of those." And he reached in his wallet and he produced a $100 bill, and he gave the bill to the blind girl, and she grabbed it. And as she was sobbing and trying to dry up her tears, she mentioned, she found a way to say, "Thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I didn't think that anybody was going to stop, and I was so worried that I wouldn't be able to retrieve all of my apples." And as he turned and walked away to find his buddies to go to his gate, she said, "Sir," drying up her tears, she said, "Wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait. Are you Jesus?" And he stopped for a minute, and he took a deep breath, smiled, looked at the girl and said, "No, I'm not. I'm just one of his friends." Are you Jesus? Are you Jesus? Isn't it fascinating? She couldn't see him, and yet, she saw him. She couldn't make out a face, his figure, or his features. She was sightless. But guess what? She saw his compassion. And because of that, she didn't need to see his suit. She didn't need to see his socks or his shoes. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, she saw his soul. She saw in secret what others couldn't see. She saw him. The clothes may have kept him concealed from the others, but his compassion convinced her that this was Christ. Christ undercover. She saw him in secret. She saw him because he saw her first. It's an interesting point. Brothers and sisters, we start this Lenten season, this 40-day period that has biblical significance. You realize that cyclically or repeatedly, rather, throughout Scripture, 40-day periods are mentioned as times where God would redeem and restore or recreate or do something new. 40 days, 40 years. And not surprisingly, we as a people called Christ followers embrace a 40-day period called a season of Lent because we believe that in those 40 days, if we enter into it with intention, the Lord will find ways to recreate, restore, redeem, and reconcile all of the words that you saw scrolling there in the beginning. But brothers and sisters, as we start this season of Lent, I am grateful, aren't you? I am grateful for a God who sees us, but not only sees us, but sees us in what? Secret. Behind all the faces and the facades. Behind all of the suits and the smiles. Beyond all of those surface level compartments of the soul where the secret is seen. I'm grateful for a God who sees us in secret, all the things that we would seek to keep concealed from everybody else. All the things that we wouldn't want anybody else to see or acknowledge. I'm thankful for a God who sees all the secret compartments of our souls and yet sees it fit to stay and help pick up the pieces. And not only pick up the pieces, but redeem them. I'm grateful for a God who sees us and still accepts us despite the mess. I want you to use this service as a means of reflecting of opening up the closet door and taking stock, inventory spiritually, and examining all of those things in secret that have seemed to have stayed, all of those things that have transpired in the course of a year that you're not proud of. Now pretend as though that's on display in a billboard. And the only one who stops and addresses the things that you see in secret is the one that this girl saw in Christ Jesus. Ash Wednesday, for those who may be unfamiliar to the rhythms of the things that we do to prepare ourselves as Christians, Ash Wednesday causes us to confront the fact that had it been up to us, we too would be lost. We too would be groping in the dark. We too would be ones helplessly trying to pick up the pieces after all that's been bruised and all that's been broken from a fall. I hope that by the sin of the Holy Spirit and God's using this word to connect with you, that you'll be able to realize that the portions of our lives, of your lives and mine, that aren't what they should be, the portions of our lives, the parts and compartments of our lives that have fallen, the places of our souls that have been broken and bruised, God has the capacity to restore and make new. All the things that have been damaged from a fall. And all of those who would have walked on by, seemingly blind to our burdens and indifferent to our pain, I'm thankful for a God, a Savior, brothers and sisters, who is not only good enough to stop and meet us in our mess, but one who was God enough to take all that has damaged, all that was been damaged, and pay it in full. See, to the girl in the airport, the payment was a response to all that got broken, and yet it was a visible and tangible sign that what was broken got bought with a price, redeemed, and restored, and reconciled. Church, the cash was to the blind girl, listen, the cash was to the blind girl what the ashen cross is to us. A reminder of brokenness. A reminder that something has been damaged and bruised, but also a visible and tangible sign that what was broken got bought with a price. Therefore, the message of the cross that we wear on our heads should be the message of the cross we bear with our lives. It's much too easy to dress in the garb of something Christian, but it's far more difficult to make an active decision to dress yourself spiritually, to be a visible and tangible sign of redemption to the world. So the message that we bear of the cross on our head should be the message that we wear on our lives. And the message is this, brothers and sisters, as I transition. Yeah, I'm broken. Yeah, I'm imperfect. Yeah, things have happened in my life that are less than flattering. But I've been bought with grace. I carry the glory of a God who saw me in secret and still stuck around. A Christ who met me in my mess and still saw it fit to make me His. He gave His life to me. And so it's only right that I give Him mine. So look at the story in light of the Scripture. It seems that those who seek to glorify God are those whose commitment uncovers a Christ that the world cannot see. And I suppose that you're getting good at it when people look at the movement of your hands and your feet and rather than recognize you, see somebody else instead. Jesus says in so many words, "Give and live in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, your Father who is and sees in secret, will reward you." Friends, I can't think of a greater gift from God than someone who receives the sacrifice of your time, not just this season of Lent, but for the rest of your days, someone who receives your sacrifice of time, your sacrifice of talent, your sacrifice of treasure, your sacrifice of testimony, and confuses yourself with God's Son. I can't think of a greater gift. Gosh, think of how rewarding it would be, brothers and sisters, if your witness would be if you said or did for the sake of someone else who left them wondering, Jesus, is that you? Are you him? Are you Jesus? Did you do that? See, that's the kind of faith that God wants to fashion in these 40 days, in this season of Lent. The season of Lent shouldn't inspire, brothers and sisters, healthier diets as it should inspire hungrier disciples. And I want to be one of those. I want to be one of those, starting now, starting this day, starting this evening with the ashes. The visible representation that something has been broken down to its lowest common denominator, and yet contained within the ashes are the ingredients to grow something great. Some gardeners will tell you that with some plants, ashes are some of the greatest nutrients to grow something brand new, something good. So the ashen cross on our forehead is less a sign to somebody else in the community that you've been to an Ash Wednesday service, and more of a sign of a life that you choose to live. That yes, look at me, things have been broken and burdened and bruised, but contained within the ashes, given to the right hands, are the ingredients for someone to do something great. And God is that grower. God's willing to show us so much, brothers and sisters, as I close, if we simply follow the step of the salesman mentioned in the story. Look, number one, stop running. Review the damage. Take stock. What is of me that should not be? Stop running in the midst of a world that can't stop running. Stop running from problems and pain as if it isn't there. Stop running. Review the damage. Repent. The word for that is turn around. Turn around. Reach out in ways that you haven't before. The world isn't all about you. It isn't all about us. Reach out in sacrifice and service and in turn receive. Stop running. Review the damage. Repent. Reach out and in turn receive. Receive the reward of somebody looking at you and swearing to God it was someone else. If that happens, let it ride. Best to keep it a secret anyways. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.